The next LOS requires us to compare types of trade and capital restrictions and their economic implications. There are many reasons, at least stated reasons, why governments impose trade restrictions. Some have support among economists as conceivably valid in terms of increasing a country's welfare, while others have little or no support from economic theory. Some of the reasons for trade restrictions that have support from economists are infant industry. Protection from foreign competition is given to new industries to give them an opportunity to grow to an internationally competitive scale and get up the learning curve in terms of efficient production methods. National security. Even if imports are cheaper, it may be in the country's best interest to protect producers of goods crucial to the country's national defense so that those goods are available domestically in the event of conflict. Other arguments for trade restrictions that have little support in theory are protecting domestic jobs. While some jobs are certainly lost and some groups and regions are negatively affected by free trade, other jobs in export industries or growing domestic goods and services industries will be created, and prices for domestic consumers will be less without import restrictions. Protecting domestic industries. Industry firms often use political influence to get protection from foreign competition, usually to the detriment of consumers who pay higher prices. Other arguments include retaliation for foreign trade restrictions, government collection of tariffs, countering the effects of government subsidies paid to foreign producers, and preventing dumping, which refers to foreign exports at less than their cost of production. Types of trade restrictions include tariffs, taxes on imported goods collected by the government, quotas, limits on the amount of imports allowed over some period, export subsidies, government payments to firms that export goods, minimum domestic content, requirement that some percentage of product content must be from the domestic country, voluntary export restraint. A country voluntarily restricts the amount of a good that can be exported, often in the hope of avoiding tariffs or quotas imposed by their trading partners. We will now examine the effects of the primary types of trade restrictions, tariffs, and subsidies. A tariff placed on an imported good increases the domestic price, decreases the quantity imported, and increases the quantity supplied domestically. Domestic producers gain, foreign exporters lose, and the domestic government gains by the amount of the tariff revenues. A quota restricts the quantity of a good imported to the quota amount. Domestic producers gain and domestic consumers lose from an increase in the domestic price. The right to export a specific quantity to the domestic country is granted by the domestic government, which may or may not charge for the import licenses to foreign countries. If the import licenses are sold, the domestic government gains the revenue. If the domestic government does not charge for the import licenses, this amount is a gain to those foreign exporters who receive the import licenses under the quota and are termed quota rents. In terms of overall economic gains from trade, the deadweight loss is the amount of lost welfare from the imposition of the quota or tariff. From the viewpoint of the domestic country, the loss in consumer surplus is only partially offset by the gains in domestic producer surplus and the collection of tariff revenue. If none of the quota rents are captured by the domestic government, the overall welfare loss to the domestic economy is greater by the amount of the quota rents. It is the entire difference between the gain in producer surplus and the loss of consumer surplus. A voluntary export restraint is just as it sounds. It refers to a voluntary agreement by a government to limit the quantity of a good that can be exported. Voluntary export restraints are another way of protecting the domestic producers in the importing country. They result in a welfare loss to the importing country equal to that of an equivalent quota with no government charge for the import licenses, that is, no capture of the quota rents. Export subsidies are payments by a government to its country's exporters. export subsidies benefit exporters of the good, but increase prices and reduce consumer surplus in the exporting country. In a small country, the price will increase by the amount of the subsidy to equal the world price plus the subsidy. In the case of a large exporter of the good, the world price decreases and some benefits from the subsidy accrue to foreign consumers, while foreign producers are negatively affected. Most of the effects of all four of these protectionist policies are the same. With respect to the importing country, import quotas, tariffs, and voluntary export restraints all reduce imports, increase price, decrease consumer surplus, increase domestic quantity supplied, and increase producer surplus. With one exception, all will decrease national welfare. Quotas and tariffs in a large country could increase national welfare under a specific set of assumptions, primarily because for a country that imports a large amount of the good, setting a quota or tariff could reduce the world price for the good. Some countries impose capital restrictions on the flow of financial capital across borders. Restrictions include outright prohibition of investment in the domestic country by foreigners, prohibition of or taxes on the income earned on foreign investments by domestic citizens, prohibition of foreign investment in certain domestic industries, and restrictions on repatriation of earnings of foreign entities operating in a country. Overall, capital restrictions are thought to decrease economic welfare. However, over the short term, they have helped developing countries avoid the impact of great inflows of foreign capital during periods of optimistic expansion and the impact of large outflows of foreign capital during periods of correction and market unease or outright panic. Even these short-term benefits may not offset longer-term costs if the country is excluded from international markets for financial capital flows. The next LOS calls on us to explain motivations for and advantages of trading blocs, common markets, and economic unions. There are various types of agreements among countries with respect to trade policy. The essence of all of them is to reduce trade barriers among the countries. Reductions in trade restrictions among countries have some, by now familiar, positive and negative effects on economic welfare. The positive effects result from increased trade according to comparative advantage, as well as increased competition among firms in member countries. The negative effects result because some firms, some industries, and some groups of workers will see their wealth and incomes decrease. Workers in affected industries may need to learn new skills to get new jobs. On balance, economic welfare is improved by reducing or eliminating trade restrictions. Note, however, that to the extent that a trade agreement increases trade restrictions on imports from non-member countries, economic welfare gains are reduced, and in an extreme case, could be outweighed by the costs such restrictions impose. This could result if restrictions on trade with non-member countries increases a country's unrestricted imports from a member that has higher prices than the country's previous imports from a non-member. We list these types of agreements, generally referred to as trading blocs or regional trading agreements, in increasing order of their degrees of integration. Free trade area. All barriers to the import and export of goods and services among member countries are removed. Customs union. Member countries also adopt a common set of trade restrictions with non-members. Common market. Member countries also remove all barriers to the movement of labor and capital goods among members. Economic union. Member countries also establish common institutions and economic policy for the union. Monetary union. Member countries also adopt a single currency. The North American Free Trade Agreement is an example of a free trade area. The European Union is an example of an economic union, and the Eurozone is an example of a monetary union. Next, we are asked to describe common objectives of capital restrictions imposed by governments. Governments sometimes place restrictions on the flow of investment capital into their country, out of their country, or both. Commonly cited objectives of capital flow restrictions include the following. Reduce the volatility of domestic asset prices. In times of macroeconomic crisis, capital flows out of the country can drive down asset prices drastically, especially prices of liquid assets such as stocks and bonds. With no restrictions on inflows or outflows of foreign investment capital, the asset markets of countries with economies that are small relative to the amount of foreign investment can be quite volatile over a country's economic cycle. Maintain fixed exchange rates. For countries with fixed exchange rate targets, limiting flows of foreign investment capital makes it easier to meet the exchange rate target, and therefore to be able to use monetary and fiscal policy to pursue only the economic goals for the domestic economy. Keep domestic interest rates low. By restricting the outflow of investment capital, countries can keep their domestic interest rates low and manage the domestic economy with monetary policy, as investors cannot pursue higher rates in foreign countries. China is an example of a country with a fixed exchange rate regime where restrictions on capital flows allow policymakers to maintain the target exchange rate as well as to pursue a monetary policy independent of concerns about its effect on currency exchange rates. Protect strategic industries. Governments sometimes prohibit investment by foreign entities in industries considered to be important for national security, such as the telecommunications and defense industries.